Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenech.
Let's jump straight in. Tech Guide. This was a real effort to push into that growing consumer space, very competitive space in Australia. Tech Guide. It does give the user plenty of options, whether you're working or viewing content on the device.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
Knowing Apple, you just don't know what to expect. Tech Guide. They've gone from taking an excellent device and they've made it even better. It's had a redesign inside and out.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenech.
Hello and welcome to Tech Guide episode 128, the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. It's great to have your company once again for our last show of 2014. I'm Stephen Fenech and I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. This week we're going to take a look back at the standout products of the year. We're going to check out Google's interesting and unusual search results and the moments that defined 2014. And Allianz Stadium goes high tech with super screens and a high-speed network. In the Tech Guide reviews, we rerun our eye over LG's 4K TV that's priced under $1,000, Lenovo's Tablet 2 Pro with built-in projector, and the Dog and Bone topless waterproof iPhone 6 case. And we'll wrap it up with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. A huge show planned, so let's get cracking. Well, we're at the end of yet another year, 2014. Boy, hasn't it flown by? And, well, it's been quite a remarkable year in terms of technology and the products that have been released. I'm going to go through just a few of the trends and the standout products of the year. Let's start off with curved televisions. Now, at CES, back towards nearly 11 months ago now, the Consumer Electronics Show. Well, that was the highlight of the show. It was a lot of everything was curved. Televisions, there were even smartphones that were curved, but the TV was the main curve that we saw at the show. And today in the market, curved TVs are quite common. We've seen them from Samsung and also from LG. Not so much from Sony. Sony have stuck with a straight television, as have Panasonic. But it seems the Korean brands want to go head to head with their curved TVs. In fact, right now we're reviewing the LG curved OLED TV, and that leads us on to, while we're on TVs, the next popular product was the OLED format. For those who don't know, OLED is short for Organic Light Emitting Diode. And what that basically means is that the material inside the TV, this OLED material, is self-illuminating. So when you pass a charge through it, it produces light. So what that results in is a TV that doesn't need a backlight and therefore can be very, very thin. We're talking millimeters thin. One of the LG TVs, an earlier model of the OLED television, was only 4 millimeters thick. The screen was absolutely very, it was supermodel thin, we could say. So OLED has come a long way this year. I think we're going to see a lot more of that in 2015 as more companies embrace the technology, but also find a way to produce it in big numbers more efficiently and therefore a lot cheaper. OLED is still a fairly expensive format, but I think 2015 is going to be the year where we're going to see that price really, really come down and put some pressure on LED. You're going to see, as a result, LED TVs coming down as well. And plasma, it was good while it lasted, but we're going to probably see the final nail in the coffin for plasma. The TV market has certainly come a long way. But that's not the only area that we were interested in this year that really had a lot of interest and a lot of movement from a lot of companies. The wearable space was also pretty significant. And I'm talking two different areas here. I'm talking activity bands and trackers. And the other wearable devices were smartwatches. On the activity tracker front, we saw plenty of products, and not just from the players like the Garmins and all those other companies, but we also saw companies like Samsung and LG and even Sony come into the picture as well. So this was an area that allowed people, these activity trackers allows you to keep a track of the number of steps you take per day, the quality of your sleep. It allows you to log your calories, so the food you're eating. There's even some of the models have a way to see how many flights of stairs you climb per day, how many calories you've burned. So it is a really good way to get a snapshot of your health, especially if you're trying to make some improvements in your life, maybe trying to lose some weight, trying to reach a fitness goal. These products have really, really came into their own. And we reviewed so many of them on the Tech Guide website, including, as I said, the ones from the major companies, but also a lot of others, like you've got your Fitbits and you've got your Jawbones. Garmin even had a few products as well, so plenty to choose from. And even within those companies, they released not just one, but two or three different models. I think from Jawbone alone, we saw the Up 24, and now we've seen the Up Move, the smaller device. The Up 3 is coming out soon. Garmin also had a couple in the lineup as well. So plenty to choose from in the activity space. Now, in the smartwatch space, boy, did we see a lot of that. Now, the companies that were out front were Samsung. They had a smartwatch out last year with the Gear and then the Gear 2. Then this year they brought out the Gear S. But not to be outdone, LG also entered with not just one but two smartwatches this year, the G-Watch, which was the Square, their initial release into the market, and then also the G-Watch R, the circular device. Circular looks like a traditional watch. That was released a couple of months ago. Speaking of circular watches, Motorola, so they were also in that area too. They released the Moto 360, which is a pretty popular watch. That was kind of one of the first ones that was moved away from that square blocky shape and was one of the first to have that traditional circular shape, which is quite unusual at the time to see a circular screen, an OLED screen in that shape. But as I said, LG have also jumped on board in that area as well. But the big mover in this space, and their product was only announced, it's not even in the market yet, was Apple. Apple announced their Apple Watch back in September when they announced their iPhone 6 and 6 Plus. And it was they're going to release three different models. And we're not going to see it till early 2015. I'm hearing February, maybe around Valentine's Day. We're going to see maybe mid-February launch of the Apple Watch. They've already released the Watch Kit, which allows developers to enhance and produce their apps to suit the technology as well. So expect plenty of changes once this is released. So if you've got apps on your iPhone, there are going to be dedicated apps that run just on the watch and also apps that can be extended from the iPhone to the watch. So it enhances their usage in that area. But another area that we really need to talk about, of course, is the smartphone. And it really was a year where the market grew even further. I think in Australia alone, we're well over 80% of the market now uses a smartphone. And of course, the big players like Samsung and LG, Sony with the Xperia Z2 and Z3, LG released the G3, Samsung released the Galaxy S5 and the Galaxy Note 4, among others. And Apple, of course, finally embracing that larger screen with the iPhone 6 at 4.7 inches and the iPhone 6 Plus at 5.5 inches. What was a lot of Apple users, or I think were a little frustrated, a lot of iPhone users were looking at their smaller screen, their 4-inch screen, and enviously looking at other Android devices, and some even used that as a reason for moving away from the iOS platform, was they wanted that bigger screen. But Apple did deliver on that. On the expectation for them to go big was pretty. That was a popular rumor, and they did deliver with the 6 and the 6 Plus. And what that's done is that it's forced a lot of customers, a lot of Apple's customers who were thinking of moving to the other side, to the Android side or the Windows Phone side, it really kept them on board. And as a result, I think other companies, I think Samsung in particular, the Galaxy S5, I think sales of that device really suffered because there were a lot of people who were thinking, wow, well, Apple are making a big screen now, I'm going to hang around. The Galaxy S5, the expected sales were down, I think, around 40%, which is significant when you look at their previous year's figures. Even in the largest phone market, the smartphone market, the phablet market, if you like, the phone tablet market, as it's often called, the Samsung and other brands really had that space to themselves. And it was really, up until now, a niche market, those larger screen phones. And Apple then comes along with the iPhone 6 Plus and does what none of these companies could do, and that is make that big phone sexy. They've made it attractive. A lot of customers, it's not official until Apple does it. And in this case, the 6 Plus, the stock was sold out. You couldn't get your hands on one of these devices. It was very, very popular. So Apple have made the phablet something, a desirable product. And to this day, there's still stock shortages in parts of the world, parts of Australia, of course, as well, where those stock constraints are now starting to ease. And so people who've been waiting months for the device can now finally get their hands on the product. But it wasn't just the big players, especially in the smartphone market, that made some noise. It was some other players too. And I think what we saw this year was a real emergence of the smaller players, the companies like Kogan, who release really good value devices. HTC also produced some great devices. The HTC One M8 was an excellent smartphone. We also saw the rise of another brand, Huawei. Now, they came from being a Chinese company who didn't quite nail their design to a company who's now producing really stunning-looking phones at really affordable prices. And lastly, Oppo is a Chinese brand that came into the market a few months ago as well. They entered Australian market, I think, around August. And now they have a lineup of products that are now being sold not only online but also in stores as well. So it's been quite a year on the technology front. That's just a brief snapshot, my observations on what was hot this year. And I'll be going to the Consumer Electronics Show in a couple of weeks. In fact, our next show will be from the Consumer Electronics Show. And I'll no doubt be telling you what's going to be big in 2015. If you want to read more about all those products I spoke about, our newly redesigned Tech Guide website, you can find all of them right there at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide.
Keeping you updated and educated.
Well, we've spoken about some searches of the year, but Google being the big daddy of them all, we really need to take notice of what their year in search reveals. And it's been pretty interesting, the results. What Google have done, though, is apart from them just giving their straight popular searches, they've also broken it down into different categories of the various searches that were conducted throughout 2014. And it is a brilliant snapshot of what was the defining moments of 2014, the topics, the news stories, the people that really took our interest. In the trending searches, the World Cup soccer was the dominant subject. That was number one, followed by Malaysia Airlines. Now, there wasn't one, but there was two incidents with Malaysian Airlines that we've spoken about before, MH370 and then MH17. MH370 still has not been found. The flight has just disappeared off the face of the earth. And MH17 was tragically shot down over the Ukraine. And really, it's a tragic story there. And Malaysia Airlines in the headlines for all the wrong reasons. Robin Williams was another story that caught our imagination of his tragic death. Death by suicide. That was the number three most searched topic. Number four, another Australian celebrity who took her own life. Charlotte Dawson was another searched for person on Google, followed by Phil Hughes, tragically the cricketer who was killed a couple of weeks ago after being hit in the neck with a bouncer. His death really shook the nation, and of course the Australian cricket team. It was a body blow for our country, losing a cricketer of his caliber. Other celebrities and subjects that figured in the searches were Jennifer Lawrence, Chappelle Corby, who is now on parole in Bali after her serving most of her sentence for smuggling marijuana into the country. Also, Ebola was another topic that we were searching about. I think a few people were worried about about this disease and the spread of this this deadly virus overseas. But other things that we search for, some interesting things, some other news stories, of course. There was the Michael Schumacher, the news of him, the former Formula One world champion, was injured in a skiing accident. There was also searches for Peaches Geldof, Bob Geldof's daughter, who was found dead of a drug overdose, unfortunately. But other searches, now, people use Google for various reasons, and then we either search for news stories or we search for people, subjects, whatever. But we also type into Google, we try to look for things on how to do things, how to, what is, these sorts of searches. The Australians that trended as well, that's we'll get to that in a moment. Recipes, who is. So in the how-to category, how to draw was the number one. Number two was how to kiss, followed by number three, how to crochet. In the what is category, what is Ebola was number one. And what is love actually came in at number three. The top trending Aussies were Chappelle Corby, Todd Carney, the wayward Cronulla Sharks first grader, Iggy Azalea, the Australian who's hitting it big on the international music charts, Margot Robbie, an actress who starred in The Wolf of Wall Street opposite Leonardo DiCaprio. Recipes. The most searched for recipe was, wait for it, pancakes. Number two, chicken recipes. Number three, Thermomix recipes. You know, that all-in-one appliance for the kitchen. Who is? The most searched for who is was Jesus. I think people were maybe expecting an answer from Google. Well, I'm sure they got it. May not be the one that they were looking for. Where is was another popular search. Where is Sochi, which is where they held the Winter Olympics this year in Russia. Where is MH370 was also another question that we were asking. In the digital internet lingo searches, a lot of people were trying to work out what Tinder was all about. Well, that was the hookup app. Another search on the internet lingo was Necnominate, as well as Bitcoin. So we were wondering about this new virtual currency. But they are the Google searches of 2014. And if you want to check them out in detail, I've got them all at techguide.com.au. Well, Allianz Stadium, which is in Sydney, right next door to the Sydney Cricket Ground, is really making some big changes. They're spending about $20 million on new technology, the main part being these new super screens, these high-definition screens that are 27 metres wide and 10 metres high. That is a massive screen. It's got a 24:9 aspect ratio, five times larger than the screens they're replacing. Now, Allianz Stadium is not far from downtown Sydney. So if you follow the Sydney Roosters, which is the NRL team, if you like rugby or the A-League soccer, all of those sports are played at Allianz Stadium. And in fact, it will be the first time in Australia that a screen has been used this size for a rugby league, union or soccer match in Australia. So pretty impressive. But apart from the super screens, there's also going to be a high-speed Wi-Fi network in the ground, so patrons, fans can be in the stadium using the stadium's Wi-Fi instead of 4G. There are also going to be 1,200 IPTV screens in the stadium as well. So all around the stadium, there's going to be all these screens. They're going to be linked to their IP network. So that'll put up all kinds of information and of course, what's going on live on the ground. But they've spent $20 million. They really mean business. The Sydney Cricket Ground and Sports Ground Trust, which Allianz Stadium is obviously part of that, and the Sydney Cricket Ground, they are the two stadiums that are next door to each other there that make up the SCG Cricket and Sports Ground Trust. So exciting times ahead there. If you love your sport and you love your tech, well, Allianz Stadium is really going to deliver on both fronts right there. You're listening to Tech Guide.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finnick.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. Well, how many Wi-Fi devices do you have at home? You count them up: laptops, tablets, iPads, smartphones, gaming consoles, smart TVs, music streamers. The list goes on and on. And if you're like the average Aussie home, you probably have 10 or more devices all connected to your Wi-Fi network. But now's the time to upgrade your home network to next generation 802.11ac Wi-Fi from Netgear and get the best experience from all of your gadgets and devices. A lot of people don't realize that the slowest device on your network slows it down for all your other devices, but not so with the new 802.11ac Wi-Fi from Netgear. When you upgrade to AC Wi-Fi, you'll enjoy video and music streaming with no buffering. You'll have more reliable Wi-Fi connectivity and coverage and faster loading of websites, video, email attachments. It's all quicker, much, much more. So check out Netgear's range of next generation AC Wi-Fi products like modems, routers and range extenders at netgear.com.au and do more with your devices this summer.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fennick.
Tech Guide.
All right, we're going to kick off the Tech Guide reviews with a television, and not just any old television. It's from LG. It's the 40UB800T. It's a 40-inch TV, but it's a 4K TV. So not only is it a 4K TV, 40-inch TV, but the other interesting feature is the price. It's under $1,000. So this is a versatile TV. You get plenty of bang for your buck. It's only 40 inches, so that means it's really good for a smaller room, possibly a bedroom, small lounge room. It's even, useful as a computer monitor, an oversized computer monitor, or like a multimedia station. So you may have a room where you've got a PlayStation connected to it, or maybe a Blu-ray player, your computer. So it's a way to enjoy all that content. And 4K, although not a lot of 4K content at the moment, but the upscaling really works. So at first I was a little skeptical. Will you notice the difference on a 40-inch screen between full HD and upscaled to near 4K quality? And the surprise was that yes, you can. The picture quality on the LG was excellent. Really good contrast levels, nice black levels, as well as a really accurate color reproduction. Not too oversaturated. The design of the TV's got a very thin bezel as well. Two small legs that are either side of the TV, the small stands that hold up the TV. It is a very understated in design, sort of minimal design, but all you can focus on is that picture, which, as I said, has a resolution being 4K, also known as ultra high definition, of 3840 by 2160. That's four times the pixels of a full high def TV. That's more than 8 million pixels squeezed in to that 40 inch screen. It's also got True Motion technology. That's 100 hertz screen refresh rate. So what that does, it reduces any motion blur or lag if you're watching high speed action movies or sports. So you get a nice smooth picture there. It's got Wi-Fi built in as well. And as I said, the upscaling is pretty cool. We were watching some Blu-rays and did notice the upscaling at work. So sharpened edges on various product, on various objects on the screen, some textures there that weren't there before. So really working hard to upscale to near 4K quality. As I said, not a lot of 4K content around, but it's coming. Having a TV like this really future-proofs your purchase, because in the next year or two, there's going to be a lot of 4K or Ultra HD content coming through, and you'll have a TV like this that can showcase that content to every single pixel. The LG 40-inch 4K TV is priced at $949. It has a lot of convenient features as well. It's got the magic remote, so that small remote puts the pointer up on the screen. Doesn't have the new web OS, though. It has an older operating system. That kind of was a mark against it, I thought. Had the older operating system, still good, but would have been nice to have that new, easy-to-navigate web OS. It did have, though, another convenient feature called Time Machine. What that allows you to do is you can BYO your hard drive. So instead of having a separate recorder, you've got to go out and buy another product. It allows you to connect a USB drive to the TV, and then allows you to do make recordings, schedule recordings, and even play, pause, and rewind live TV. The LG 40-inch 4K TV, the model number is 40UB800T. If you want to read my full review, you can find it at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fennick.
Tech Guide.
Well, Lenovo have been pretty busy with their new range of yoga products, really pushing hard into that consumer space. We got our hands on the Lenovo Yoga Tablet 2 Pro. Now, I was over in London a couple of months ago, for the launch of these range of products, including the Tablet 2 Pro. And this is a device that's got a 13.3-inch screen. So this is really handy if you're one of those users who want either a big screen to work or a big screen to watch your entertainment, your movies. It has a nice display with a resolution of 2560 by 1440. And it's large enough, as I said, to really take the place of your laptop. And being the Lenovo Yoga, it's called Yoga because it can stand on its head and is very flexible, I found out. And by that I mean there is a barrel running down along the bottom edge of the screen that's got the speakers built in, it's got the battery built in. It's also got a kickstand on the back, so you can press the button, the kickstand flips out, and you can position that kickstand so that you can use it as a viewing stand, you can turn it over and sort of have a shallow typing stand. And you can even hook it. There's even a hole in the stand, so you can hook it up and hang it from wherever you want to view it comfortably as well. But that barrel along the bottom of the screen also houses another feature, an unusual feature for a tablet, and that is a projector. So what it basically means is that you fire up that projector in the barrel of this device, and whatever's on the screen, you can then aim to the wall. So you can create up to a 50-inch picture. And look, it's not a home theater projector by any stretch of the imagination. It's not going to replace a home theater projector, but it does provide a decent quality projection for you to enjoy your content on a larger scale. Whether it's you by yourself or you want to show something to a few people, you might want to be making a presentation. You might even be using the sketch pad on the device, projecting that on the wall, and you've got a whiteboard all of a sudden, so you can actually draw whatever you're drawing on the screen of the Tablet 2 Pro. That'll be projected up on the wall in real time. So it is like having a whiteboard as well. It has got an Intel Atom processor on board, so it does have the credentials to really do some solid computing, solid multitasking. So if you are looking for an all-round device that can really get you that kind of work, if you want to for that kind of use, then it does stand up to that kind of those uses most definitely. So definitely worth a look if you're after more than just a tablet. What I said in my review on Tech Guide is the fact that what I like about this product was that it's versatile. Normally with another tablet, you'd need to buy a case to have the stand to be able to position it. With the Lenovo, it's already built in, so out of the box, it is pretty versatile. There's also JBL speakers on board. Not many companies go to the trouble of putting decent speakers in their tablets, but Lenovo has done just that. JBL speakers and a rear subwoofer, there's all Dolby sound output on board as well. Battery life is excellent, up to 15 hours battery life because it's in that barrel, so it gives it a larger 9,600 milliamp hour battery that has up to 15 hours, which is pretty solid, I think, more than any other tablet that I've used. The Lenovo Tablet Yoga Tablet 2 Pro, priced at $799, and you get a lot of bang for your buck there. That's around the same price as a mid-range iPad, even an entry-level iPad Air 2. You are getting a bigger screen and a projector and plenty of other features as well, running Android, of course, but really all around, the product is really versatile, value for money, and definitely worth a look. You want to read my full review? You can do that. techguide.com.au. Well, Aussie company Dog and Bone have produced a new waterproof case for the iPhone 6. It's called the Wetsuit. And the reason it's called the Wetsuit is because it can go underwater. As I said, it's waterproof. But it's not just a normal waterproof case. It's what they call a topless waterproof case. Now, that doesn't mean it takes its top off at the beach. What that means is that there is no cover on the iPhone 6 screen. So the glass, your iPhone 6, your display actually touches the water. But there is a seal all around the screen, a beaded seal that goes all the way around the device. So there's polycarbonate case around it as well. Creates a seal so that the water can't seep in anywhere under that cover. So while the water does touch the main part of the screen and does it no harm, of course, the water can't get in anywhere else because of that seal. That's what topless means. There is LifeProof create. They've got a case called the Nude, N-W-D, that's also a topless case as well. So it doesn't need to cover the screen. There are other waterproof cases that does have that extra silicon cover on the screen. Does make the screen a bit less responsive though. So when it's in the water, the screen is not going to work because it's a touch screen and water just won't work in the water. But even out of the water, the advantage of having a topless case is that out of the water, you are actually touching the screen rather than getting to the screen through another silicon layer. So it is a lot more responsive. So it's like using the phone without a case. What I liked about the Dog and Bone case is that it doesn't add too much bulk to the phone. I think the whole thing, once the iPhone 6 is on board, case on board, it's about 13.8 millimeters thick, which isn't thick when you consider you've got a waterproof case on this thing. Inside the case, there is that's where the wetsuit part comes from. There's a silicone cover that fits tightly around the phone. And then there's a top and bottom layer that come together and seals that together, so to create that waterproof seal. It's also shockproof from a height of 2 meters. You can take it to a depth of 2 meters when it's in the case. It's also snowproof and dustproof as well. So and you can also access the camera. There's a hole for the camera. You can also access the ports when you're out of the water. Of course, you can access the charge port, the speaker port, the headphone jack as well, and the volume keys and all that are all accessible even while the phone is in the case. Dog and Bone, they make a good case. Aussie company, the Dog and Bone wetsuit, priced at $79.95. You want to read my report? You know where to find it. TechGuide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
The Tech Guide Help Desk this week, a listener, or a reader, I should say, sent us in an email asking about a laptop to buy. Now, they said their budget is $1,000. What can I recommend? Well, $1,000 gets you a lot of laptop nowadays. The things to look for in a laptop, things that make a laptop that affects the price of a laptop, let's just say, is screen size, processor speed and processor quality, the amount of memory on board. So by memory, I mean RAM, so it's random access memory, and the hard drive, and also the type of hard drive, because you can get your normal hard drive and you get your SSD, which is solid state drives, like a big flash memory card inside. SSD tends to be a little bit more expensive. And you also get smaller capacity but faster speed. The old hard drive, you get higher capacity but normal speed. So it's not that quick. But depending on your budget, normally an SSD drive is found in an Ultrabook, which are the really thin laptops that are, some of them are under $1,000. So things to look for your money. If you there are plenty of designs. I think a Mac is out of the question. I think the cheapest Mac laptop is, I think, $1,200. So you're kind of priced out of that area. You've got to settle for a Windows PC, a PC laptop. Plenty of brands to choose from that offer a laptop under $1,000. You'll be surprised how much you get for that price running Windows 8.1. So try to look for at least 4 gig of RAM. Try to look for, if you're getting a normal drive, at least 500 gig of data, of space there. If you're getting an SSD drive, you're probably only going to get about a 128. You maybe get a 256 gig one for under $1,000 as well. In terms of the design, Ultrabooks, really thin and light Ultrabooks, tend to be a little bit more expensive. I'm talking over $1,000, $1,500, maybe to $2,000. So you're under a $1,000 laptop, maybe a bit bigger and heavier. That's another thing to look out for. Weight as well. If you want a really light laptop, unfortunately, with the Ultrabook, less is more. So the lighter and thinner a device is, the more expensive it tends to be. But there's just some guidelines. If you want to look for a laptop under $1,000, that's a great place to start. Plenty of options there. And for under $1,000, as I said, plenty of bang for your buck. You're listening to Tech Guide. And that's the end of our last show of the year. Thanks for listening in 2014. As always, everything we've spoken about can be seen at techguide.com.au. And if you want to get in touch, please email us info@techguide.com.au. Tech Guide is still going to be releasing content and producing stories across the Christmas break. Special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. We really appreciate their support in 2014. Thanks for listening. It's been great having you with us. We look forward to you joining us again in early 2015 when we touch down in Las Vegas for the Consumer Electronics Show. Until then, we want to take this opportunity to wish you all a happy and safe Christmas and a prosperous New Year. Stay safe and stay connected.